Good to see you. Since I last saw you, I had a birthday. I'm 65 years old. And when I told Isaac that this morning, his response was, "Dang." What can I say? I mean, you know, telling it like it is. I can't, nothing to say there. Well, I'm glad to be here and talk a little bit more about the larger story. I've decided that we probably need a new title for this and just call it the longer story or the longest story. But, you know, there's a little bit more, and we're going to talk about it today. We're especially going to look at the idea of victory being unity, that victory in Jesus is unity among us and between us and God. And we're trying to do this in the context of, you know, the cross. It happened at a certain point in time. And so what happened there? What impact does the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead have on you today? Okay? So, you know, Rachel, Jesus died. Okay. So, I still got problems, right? You got any problems? Yeah, me too. What's up? You know, he raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. So, okay. And yet, life's still going on, it seems. And so we're talking about this in the context of a timeline of eternity. So we have the creation, and before the creation, God existed all eternity past. And then we know he's going to come back, and he's going to return, and eternity will last forever. But right now, it's 2018. And after the creation, God's people, and including us, rebelled, but God loved his people so much, he sent Jesus and the prophets to the rescue. And finally, Jesus was rescuing us who had been taken captive because of our rebellion. And so here we are. We're living in 2018. How do we live? What does that powerful resurrection from the dead of Jesus, what does that mean to you and me? And so one of the things we're doing to kind of make sense of this time is looking at the instructions and promises of God. And this is one of them that Jesus says to us, this is what's going to happen. Now, some of the promises of Jesus are super great, but this one is kind of like, uh-oh, got a little bite to it. In this world, you'll have trouble. That's a promise, Isaac. That's a promise. You're going to have trouble. How many of you have escaped so far from any trouble in this world? Okay, yeah, we're all in this together, right? We're all in this together. And, of course, Jesus is promise. You're going to have trouble. And he says, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And we're going to come back to this idea of the world and what is it, how is it different than God? And you know, Maddie, I lowered this mic, by the way, for Sally, not for Maddie. But Maddie, we're going to come back to Maddie's example in just a minute. So this is us. We're here and we're thinking about the idea of trouble. We've got trouble. Trouble is in our world. In a little history lesson, 1939. In 1939, none of us were here. I'm looking around. Yeah, 65. See, I came in 53, so I'm old, but I'm not that old. But my dad was, and my grandfathers were, and my uncle was. In 1939, things were going on in the world. Nazi Germany invaded Poland in 1939. In September of 1940, the Nazis began to bomb London, and they bombed London for 57 days in a row. And the United States was also at war, but we didn't know it. We didn't know it. It'd be kind of like this. We're here and we got friends. And London, the people lived there, they were our friends. And so it'd be like Danny sitting here. He's friend of Steve. And somebody comes into the room and they walk over to Danny and punch him in the face. Okay? And then they start pounding him with a baseball bat. And Steve stands back there and says, you know, Danny's got some trouble. Danny's in trouble. Well, then the guy with the baseball bat start beating on Kevin and just taking out this whole section. And Steve's still sitting back there and says, wow, that side of the room has trouble. That was the United States then. The first step in winning a fight is to recognize that you're in a fight. So this is what happened a year later. After Danny and all his friends were getting beat up, Pearl Harbor was bombed. And on that next day, we went to war. But we were already at war. We were already under attack. And so back to that first slide there, the first step in winning a fight is to know that you're in one. And today we're going to talk, we're in a fight. We're in a fight for life. Not just our physical lives, but our spiritual lives. And we felt it every time when Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. It's because we have an enemy. And what we're going to talk about today is who is the enemy and who is the commander. Now, my dad's in the Army, was in the Army. I always say is because feels like it if you're at his house that he's still in the Army. But Dad started out as a lieutenant, went up through the officer's ranks, and ended up as a brigadier general in the Army. And one of the things Dad has laying around the house, and he will quote from this quite often, is the Army Field Manual. Yes. So the next thing you're going to write down is the Army Field Manual and the commander's intent. Now, the deal about these field manuals, there's a bunch of them, right? This one is about leadership, all right? Now then, the commander's intent, I'll get to in a minute, but there's over 200 of these kind of books, over 200 Army field manuals. And here's some of the titles. This one's leadership. Here's some of the titles: Battlefield Operations, Desert Operations, Jungle Operations, River Crossing Operations. Need to know how to cross a river. Logistics Support Element Tactics, Techniques, and Procedures. Domestic Support Operations. Sewerage. Sewerage is very important. Smoke Operations. Flame, riot control, and herbicide operations. I mean, there are all these different field manuals to tell soldiers how to be soldiers. Now, they don't just have to read it from the book, but they do have instructions. And one of the main parts of this one, leadership, has to do with the commander's intent. And so tabs. And he says to me, you know, it'd be good for you to read some of those. I'm not kidding. Like, these are good for you. Just whatever you do in life, read some of these. I said, okay. But no. So this is one of the tabs. Organizational leaders build cohesive organizations. Okay. They resolve conflicts among subordinates. You know, okay, that's good. Here's my favorite, though. There's no substitute for a clear commander's intent, clearly understood by every staff member. Dad says, you can forget the whole book. If you know the commander's intent, you will know what to do. You'll figure the right thing. You might not do it the right way, but knowing what the commander's intent is most important. Well, in our way of thinking, right here at the Christ Community Church, we have a field manual, and in it, it describes the commander's intent, and that is what we're going to talk about today, the commander's intent, because we're at war. We're not just playing around. It's not like we've come to bingo. We didn't come here this morning for bingo. Nothing wrong with bingo, but that's not why we showed up. So, here's what we know. Last week, Jeremy talked about some conflict going on between what I'm going to call people groups. And all the people group animosity indicates, I'm going to call it indicates, that there's a war. People are angry at each other. People are mad at each other. People are fighting each other. And we talked about it from Ephesians. It's men and women. Is there conflict between men and women in our culture today? Oh, my. How about between young people and old people? I mean, you know, if you're a millennial, you got it all figured out. You know what? And if you're not a millennial, you've still got it all figured out. You just think the other person's wrong. That's the way it goes in our older and younger. Between races, are we got problems between races today? Or are all those solved? No, in this world, you're going to have trouble. And part of the way you're going to see it is because people groups are going to be at each other's throat. And that's the world we live in. A war is being fought, and we can tell because there's casualties everywhere. There's casualties. We've lost peace. There's injustice in the world. We live with fear and anger at our doorstep in our mind all the time. These are the casualties of the war. We are at war. We are under attack. Following Jesus is not just a hobby. We're at war. And the enemy is not a person or any people group. It's not any people group. It's not any individual person. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But this is what we know from the Bible. The field manual itself tells us who the enemy is, tells us what the commander's intent is. So the enemy, this is from Ephesians 6. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It didn't say against this people group's schemes. I know no matter what you're thinking about politically, it's not about the Democrats' schemes, nor about the Republicans' schemes. It's not about people group schemes. It's the devil's schemes. He's like, it describes it in Peter, he's a roaring lion looking for people to devour. And some of us have been devoured. I've been devoured by Satan. And got scars to prove it. So it's the devil's scheme. Who's the enemy? Not a people group. It's the devil. For our enemy is not against, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I want you to look around the room. Seriously, take a look around the room. At the people in the room. None of these people are your enemy. Now, we could say, I could go 1, 2, 3 point, and I'd say, okay, point to the most annoying person in the room. Okay, we've got annoying people. Betty. But the people, you know, that's not your enemy. Your enemy isn't flesh and blood. It's not your boss. The enemy are not Muslims. Muslims are not the enemy of Christians. They're not. Because our enemy's not flesh and blood. It's not your mother-in-law. It's not North Koreans. They're scary. Not our enemy. It's not even Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Okay. Maybe, Jennifer. Maybe. No, our struggle is against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're going to talk a little bit about heavenly realms next week as we kind of explore the story of Job and its application to us. But this is who our enemy is. It's Satan. It is the devil. It is the forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But God is fighting with us, and he is also for us. We're in a war. We have an enemy that is more powerful than we are, but we have an ally who is not only for us, but he's with us. He's fighting for us, and he's fighting with us. Last week, Jeremy described this and read this to you, that God destroyed the barrier between people groups. He read this in Ephesians 2, that God destroyed the barrier that stood between Jews and Gentiles. And when he did this, he destroyed the barrier between all people. And so God is fighting for us. But not only that, in Ephesians it says, he instructs us to keep the unity. So this barrier has been destroyed. And now then, the people can come together. But he expects us, the instructions in the field manual, is for us to keep the unity. Or another version would say, preserve the unity. Christ died so we could have unity. He wants us to preserve it. Or another version says, maintain it. So we're to keep the unity. Now, what does that mean? I want to suggest these things. It means that we treat each other with kindness and grace and respect. Think about that in the grocery store and when you're driving your car and when you're at work, that you'll treat other people with kindness and grace and respect. And not because that other person is good. You know, it's easy for me to treat some people with respect because they have earned it. But some people haven't. But that's not our call. Our call is to keep the unity by treating everyone with kindness and with grace and with respect. Not because they're good, not because they deserve it, or not because later on they can help me. Man, I want to treat Isaac really good because later down the line he might help me. That's not the reason we treat others with respect and kindness, because our instruction is to keep the unity. Not because they're lovable, because lots of people aren't lovable. And some people are only lovable some of the time. And God instructs us to love them all the time. Not likable, some are hardly bearable. And you know, you probably live with some people like that. But for sure, you probably work with some people like that. And some people drive in the streets like that. And some people, we see them on TV ranting and raving and doing horrible things all over. That's not why we love them. That's not why we keep the unity. The reason is because by faith, and this takes faith, we see in them the image of God. In the most evil, vile person, as in our view of what they're doing based on their behavior, there is the image of God. They're created. And now sometimes it takes faith to say that, because right now what you see, you know the family that they just discovered out in California where the mom and dad had their kids chained up? That mom and dad, in them is the image of God. And you think, wow, it's real deep. You can't see it. It's not coming out of them. But there's not a human being alive that doesn't have in them the image of God. And that's the part of them we look to see. And we can't see it on the outside, not by their actions, not because they're earning it, but we see it by faith. And this is exactly what we already learned from Maddie. This is the lesson. If people treat you poorly, how should we treat them? Well, not to get revenge, not to even protect ourselves from harm. Because if Jesus came down to earth and said, you know what? Okay, God, angels, let's get around here. What we're going to do is we're going to figure out a plan to save humanity. And we're going to send Jesus. And Jesus says, okay, I'm good. I'm going to go. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to send him down here and we're going to protect him from all harm. Wasn't the Jesus plan, was it? That's the same thing he's asked us to do. I'm going to read the lyrics of a song. You know, songs are powerful for all of us. We sing songs of praise sometimes. Sometimes we sing songs of prayer, like this morning. We sang Holy Spirit. We're asking the Holy Spirit to come. I want to read the song, a song that is a prayer, but it's a prayer of confession. It's written by Mark Hall and Matthew West of Casting Crowns. It's called Jesus, Friend of Sinners. If I was teaching Bible class at college, I would give the class the lyrics and have them note the biblical citation for all the different images they're going to use in this song, because this is a song full of biblical images. But it's a prayer of confession. Jesus, Friend of Sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, Friend of Sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on the way to you, but they're tripping over me. I'm always looking around, but never looking up. I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, Friend of Sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Whew. Open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy and help us reach with open hearts and open doors. And oh, Jesus, Friend of Sinners, break our heart for what breaks yours. Jesus, Friend of Sinners, the one who's writing in the sand, made the righteous turn away and the stones fall from their hands. Help us to remember we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees. Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. Woo! Read that again. Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs and crossed over the lines and loved like you did? Oh, Jesus, Friend of Sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers and let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, Friend of Sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. You love every lost cause. You reach for the outcast, for the leper and the lame. They're the reason you came. Lord, I was lost because I was the outcast, but you died for sinners just like me, a grateful leper at your feet, because you're good. You're good, and your love endures forever. Powerful words, convicting words, but no more so than the command, the commander's intent that he gave us in this last prayer of his. We say the Unity Prayer every Sunday. And the Unity Prayer that we say comes the idea from John 17. John 17 is the last chapter of a meal talk that Jesus gave that began in John chapter 13. This meal began in John chapter 13, and Jesus began to talk. And in it, three different times, he gives the command, the commander's intent. First, in John 13, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." In John chapter 15, still at this same gathering, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." And what's the command? Love each other. And then in John 17, he's prayed for the Holy Spirit to come on his disciples. And then he says, "Not only them do I pray, but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them would be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be so in may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you love me. our practice at CCC is to say every week the what we call the unity prayer. Because, you know, we're going through the prayer lessons in our Bible class, and this prayer Jesus prayed, I wonder if Jesus would be like us and say, God, why aren't you answering this prayer? Because my people aren't one. Why didn't, I mean, is this a bad prayer? What's wrong with that? I mean, we'd apply the same criteria to this prayer of Jesus that we were applying to our own a while ago. But the point is, this is the commander's intent. He wants us to love each other, that we would be unified. And so later Paul says, he's broken down the barrier to keep us from being unified. Now it's your job, keep the unity. And so every week, not only are we praying for these other churches and other nations, the Christian and other nations, but we're making a declaration about who we are, that this is important to us. You know why it's important to us? Because it was the commander's intent. It's important to him. This is how we go to battle. How do we fight? Do we fight with guns? Do we fight with bombs? No, we fight with love. This is us putting on the armor and saying, God, we're going to battle. We're going to battle against our enemy who wants in every way us to be separated from each other. He wants in every way to stir up conflict between brothers and sisters, between husbands and wives, between black people and white people, between rich people and poor people. He wants to stir that up. And what Jesus comes to say in his last prayer is, God, let my people love each other. And so we pray for unity as well. Today we're praying for two churches. We pray for two churches in the Arlington area every Sunday. When I grew up, I could never in a million years think that the church I went to would do this, that they would pray for a Lutheran church across town. Or an Assemblies of God church. And that's what we're going to do today. The All Saints Lutheran Church and the All Nations Assembly of God. Because you know what? They think some different things than we think. But they're God's kids. They're loving and seeking after God with all their heart. And after all, we're probably wrong. Well, maybe not. But you know what? I know we're right about one thing. Love them. Pray for them. I know that's the commander's intent. Love them. Pray for them. He said, what command do I give you? That you'll figure out the Bible like those other people down the street? That wasn't the command. The command is to love them. And then, of all things, I would get the country of China. I'm praying for China today. There's lots of Christians in China. There's over 75 million Christians in China. Now, China's a big place. Lots of folks. They had about 8% of their population. But Christianity is growing and growing and growing in China. And so one of the things they need is Bibles. They need teachers. They need that. They're growing in several ways. They have a state-sponsored church, but they also have a lot of underground churches. The state-sponsored church is not allowed to do certain things that we would think would be correct, but the underground churches are at risk often. And they have a lot of other problems, too, that I want to pray for them. In many ways, many people would say, China is our enemy. I'll guarantee you there are many people in churches around today that say, China is my enemy. But the field manual tells me that my enemy's not flesh and blood. My enemy is Satan. And so China is not my enemy. I'm not praying here for my enemy. We may be economic competitors, you know. They may cheat. Because, you know, Americans never cheat. Got a clean record of no cheating in America. So China may be my economic competitor, but they're not the enemy that wants to send me to hell. And so I'm praying for them today. I'm praying for China. Let's pray. God, we come to you because we want to honor your word, that we would keep the unity, that your son's death tore down a wall. God, we don't want to put that wall back up. So instead, we pray for the All Nations Assembly of God Church here in Arlington and the All Saints Lutheran Church, that God, your spirit would flow through them today. God, we pray for the people of China. We know that their government still represses free speech. People are often punished harshly. And that they have other just really big problems. Suicide, divorce, abortions. There's human trafficking. There's many problems. And yet we pray for them that your word, that the truth of your word would infect their heart and spread. And God, that your word would and your love would win in China. God, we pray, flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word and let there be light today in China. In Jesus' name, amen. The instructors, the commander's intent is that we love. And that we love because he first loved us. He loved us first. And yet, sometimes it's hard for us to love. He commands us to love. And he taught us how to love. Now, here's a suggestion I have for you regarding this command. How do I do that? Sometimes it's not easy. Most of the time, it's not, actually. So here's what I suggest, that we nurture God's gracious thoughts and feelings that he has put into our hearts. That God has put something into your heart. He's living inside you. Nurture that. How do I do that? Well, a couple weeks ago, I talked about the idea of thought management. I want to focus my thoughts, my attention on God's love. There's a lot of ways to do that. One is by reading his word. I want to be soaking in his word. Some is by reading the lyrics and singing songs about God and his love. Some is by having conversations with Christians that build up rather than tear down. You know, you've been in a conversation, there's turning points where you begin to tear down others. I want to suggest that as you see that, first of all, you pray that God would rescue you from conversations that tear other people down. Because, you know, sometimes it just feels good to get in a conversation with someone who agrees with you that that guy's bad. And we can just rip them up. Okay, I want to suggest that you nurture instead thoughts of grace towards neighbors that are hard to love. You know, the fact is, it takes God's spirit for us to keep the unity. Loving others hurts sometimes. Loving others and forgiving them is hard sometimes. We love because he first loved us. We forgive because he forgave us. I want to invest in others. Sometimes I got to get off my chair to love other people. It takes energy for me to invest in them. This little deal here, Maddie did this for us, but there was some investing going on for this to happen. And many of you are investing in other people. Sometimes it's a pain in the neck to do that. Kind of like maybe God thinks I'm a pain in the neck too. So God's spirit in us keeps the unity by loving all others. When I mean all, I mean all. Friends, family, strangers, enemies, rich, poor, the lovable and the disgusting. That's God's way. The world's way, it's oil. God's way, it's water. In the spiritual war we fight, love is our commander's intent. Love is a lot more than just being sweet. I know some sweet people. They're easy to love. I know some great lovers who aren't sweet. They're kind of gritty at times, because sometimes love means doing a hard thing. Sometimes love means saying no. Sorry, Lucas, sometimes your dad and mom don't say yes, and they say no to you because they love you. At least that's what my dad told me. But seriously, loving. We're in a war. Not just bingo we're doing here. It's war. And so as we sing this last song, it's about war. But it's about God is with us, helping us love. Sometimes he's convicting us because, you know, we're having this negative thought towards someone else and God's spirit rises up in us, convicting you, say, telling you, don't go that way, go this way. Sometimes he's going to ask you to say you're sorry. Some of you know someone right now, you probably need to go tell them, hey, I'm sorry, I need your forgiveness for this or that. This is love. This is keeping the unity. Sometimes we let things fester inside of us. How many of you let that happen? No. Instead, get it out. God's commanded us, keep the unity. And he's going to be with us. Let's stand and sing.